And that is what we're talking about tonight, drawing near to God through His name. We are in a series going through the names of God in the Bible, and this week we're talking about Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. We sing that in verse 2, which we're going to close with today. In a mighty fortress is our God. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age, the same. The title that we're studying tonight reminds us that God is the director of all creation. Look at Amos 4:13, which says, "Behold, He who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is His name." The Lord of hosts is referring to the fact that God governs all the hosts of heaven. Host can refer to human beings, it can refer to angelic beings, and it can also refer to all the stars and all the galaxies and all things that God has created. And the essence of it is that God is the one who directs all things to accomplish His plan. He can even use nature. He can stop the sun if He wants to. He can cause a storm or tell the storm, "Peace, be still." He is the Lord of hosts. And He is your God. And we should be still and know that He is God. And it goes on to say that we should trust in the Lord of hosts in that passage. So tonight we're going to be looking at a prime example of this in 1 Samuel 17 in just a moment. But let me give you a little bit more introduction. The title of God that we're looking at, the Lord of hosts, also reminds us that God is the protector of all of those who trust in Him. That means that you are omnipotently secure. That there is no one, no army that could take you down, so to speak, if the Lord is on your side. My oldest brother, Scott, works for one of the largest defense contracting companies in the world by the name of Raytheon. He helped devise maps during the first Gulf War. I can remember them putting together the smart bombs, and they had all these maps where the bombs would go, and they could actually direct globally these bombs. This was before GPS, Global Positioning Satellites. And yet, the military was using this technology. We use it every day now. It's amazing, as the United States of America, that we have the most technologically sophisticated weaponry in the history of the world, but that is nothing next to God. Whatever you're facing, God is bigger than that. We're talking about a God who does all things and uses all things to accomplish His will. He parted the Red Sea when His people needed to walk through it. He had the earth swallow up the guilty when His people were threatened. He locked the sun in place when His people needed a little bit longer to fight. He used thunder in routing an enemy in 1 Samuel 7. They were afraid. They thought the thunder was a mighty army. It was God. God was fighting on their behalf. He had fierce lions cozy up to the prophet Daniel. Isaiah tells the story of how a single angel slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Now, I think about also when King Asa had an million-man Ethiopian army in 2 Corinthians 14:11 confront him. He cried to the Lord, and this is what he said. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 14:11. "O Lord, there is none like you to help. Between the mighty and the weak, help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, You are our God, let not man prevail against you. No one and nothing is anything compared to the Almighty God that we serve. David said it this way, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's Psalm 20. Well, before we come to this great battle with David and the Philistines, I have to tell you about one other king that bowed his knee to King Jesus, the Lord of hosts, and that is Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that? God humbled him. He was proud, and God humbled him for how many years? For 7 years. He gave him some kind of disease that made him act like livestock. And for 7 years, his hair grew out and his nails grew out, and he was unbathed. He was in his own filth for 7 years, humbled by God Almighty. And King Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest king of his time, said this in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. Would you look there with me, if you would? He said this, Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? We have an almighty God, and I don't know what you are struggling with, what feels so burdening to you tonight. There's something in your life that feels like 1,000,000 pounds or 1,000,000-man army standing against you. But I want you to remember who you are in Jesus Christ. You are God's child. He loves you, and he is fighting on your behalf. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. Do you believe that? He is on your side. So we come to 1 Samuel 17, and we see David and Goliath. And often we come to this passage and we put ourselves, and I've been guilty of this in my earlier days, we put ourselves in the place of David. And we say, we're great and mighty, and we're going to take slay all of our giants. But actually, according to biblical typology, as I've studied this passage over the years, David is not a type of us. David is the king of Israel. Who is he a type of? Jesus Christ, who conquers all of his enemies and puts all of his enemies under his feet. And who are we in 1 Samuel 17, if you want to keep the typology going? We're the armies of Israel quaking in our boots on the sidelines, wondering who's going to deliver us from this great giant. And we do have a deliverer tonight. Amen? His name is King Jesus. He's been anointed by God the Father. So we come with that in mind to 1 Samuel 17. Let's go ahead and pray before we get into the Word of God in this passage. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would minister to us through your Holy Spirit. Speak sweet peace to our hearts. And I pray especially for those who are ready to give up because of the pressures and the difficulties in life, or perhaps the enemies of their soul. That tonight we would all find peace in the Lord of hosts, who is Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we see in this name, the Lord of all of the angel armies, the Lord of all of the celestial bodies, the Lord of the human race, the Lord of all. The first thing that we learn is that because he's on our side, he protects us. Now look at 1 Samuel 17. We're just going to begin with verse 40. 17 and verse 40. Let's read 40 through 51. And let me just ask someone to read that for us tonight. Would someone like to read that? Verses 40 through 51.
Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David, with his shield-bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you have come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. Then the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled.
Amen. So we see some interesting things about David. First, physically, David could not defeat Goliath. We think about our Lord Jesus Christ. He came in the human form, in the form of a man. He made himself of no reputation. And he was put to death on a cross. He did not look like he could be our Savior. In fact, many, when Christ came, were confused because here he was living in the poorest part of Israel, raised there. But aren't you glad tonight that our great Savior became human flesh for us? He became like us so that he could be a mighty Savior to us. And David, you look here, he could not defeat Goliath strategically. He had no armor, no sword, no weapon outside of five smooth stones. And it seemed like Christ, he had no armies, human armies at his behest. When he came to earth, the disciples and all of Israel, if he was truly the Messiah, they were expecting someone to come who would take over the Roman Empire. And so David is so much like Christ here in this passage because he doesn't look like a deliverer, does he? And then, logically, it seemed that David had no chance. I mean, even in his own family, there were brothers, all of his brothers, were mightier than he was. And yet, who did he trust in? He trusted in the Lord of hosts. And so, this paradox brings us right to the paradox in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came, and he was nailed to a cross. But he could have called 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels. In fact, he could have called more than that. But that's what he said in the Gospels. And we find that Jesus, even though he is the Lord of hosts, he comes to the cross and he lays down his weapons. Even though he is the one who created the universe, created all things, he created the tree that the Romans cut down to crucify him. And he laid down on that tree and he allowed his enemies to crucify him. And it seemed like Satan had won the victory. Here was the Son of God whipped and mocked and stripped naked onto a cross and a crown of thorns cut into his head. And he was on public display as
as if he was the devil's own trophy. And yet through this costly struggle was the greatest prize. And what was that? Jesus Christ became the Savior of the world. He became the great victor. He put to death death in his death. And all those who trust in him will never, never die. You know, Jesus Christ is identified as the Lord of hosts, and specifically as the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer, in Isaiah 44. Let's turn there. This is an important messianic passage in the book of Isaiah because it identifies the Lord, and then it identifies someone else who is also the Lord. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Who would like to read that tonight? Who has it? Dawn.
Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God.
When you see Lord in all caps, what is that? That is the title for God, Jehovah. And so, thus says the Lord, thus says Jehovah, and his Redeemer, who is Yahweh of all the angel armies. Oh, saints of God, one day we're going to see Jesus face to face, coming in the clouds with all the armies of heaven. And we're going to meet him in the twinkling of an eye, face to face, in the air. What a day that's going to be when we see the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer that the Lord sent. And so here we see this in the shadows of this battle between David and Goliath. It would be a shame for us to look at 1 Samuel 17 and simply treat it as some moralistic story where we get to win all of our battles. It's not that. It's more than that. We will win all of our battles, not in and of ourselves, but through our King, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, the Lord of hosts, that name reminds us that God will protect us as we are in Christ, as we are standing behind David. We can tremble all we want, but God's hand is upon David, and he's going forth. He's running, not away, but towards the giant. And so it is that we have battles ourselves every day, spiritual battles. You think sometimes your battle's with your boss. You think that it's with a family member. But Paul says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against human beings. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Those are the governing forces that are unseen. And there are both good and evil angels. And there is a battle behind the scenes, and the battle is for your soul. And it is ultimately that Satan wants to blaspheme the Lord's glory and goodness, and he wants to use you in doing that. So we're wrestling not against your coworker or a family member or a church member. You're wrestling against cosmic powers that are unseen. David was not simply fighting to give Israel a little bit stronger presence in the land. David was fighting for the Lord's people. And we need to remember the promises that God, as we are in Christ, we will find our protection. I say that as we are in Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Are you trusting in Christ? Think about Psalm 46. I alluded to it earlier. Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. Somebody read that. And someone else read Psalm 84 and verse 12. And then someone else read Zechariah 1. And verse 3. Zechariah 1 and verse 3. Who has Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11? Brother Roy.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Amen. Be still. He's the God of the angel armies. Know that He's God and that He will be Lord and exalted among all the nations. Who has Psalm 84 in verse 12? Miss Jane.
O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee.
Amen. Amen. Are you trusting in Him? Zechariah 1:3. Who has Zechariah 1:3? You can read twice or three times. All right.
Therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.
Let me ask you, do you feel far away from the Lord of hosts? Do you feel that you've offended our Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you know that not even you can separate you from the love of Christ? Don't you understand that? And He calls to us when we sin against Him, even if it's a big sin. You know, Jesus died for all sin, did He not? Would you trust in Him to forgive you of your sins? Some of you have been struggling even to accept the Lord's forgiveness. Like you want to atone for your own sins. You know all He says you have to do to have that reconciliation, that your sins cleansed and that relationship renewed? Return to me, He says, and I will return to you. And the New Testament says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Who's the devil? He's the accuser. He's the one who's always telling you, you can't return to God. Your sins are too big. Listen, God will throw your sins into the depths of the sea. So, these are promises about the Lord of hosts. He will protect us. We can be still in every trial and know that He is God, that the Lord of hosts is with us. We can trust in Him. The Lord of hosts is present with us. This we see so clearly in this historical account between David and Goliath. And we see that David is probably roughly around 18 or 19 years old. Can you imagine his skinny frame? Never went through basic training. He was just delivering food to his brothers. And he goes to the battle and he realizes that he is not alone. Even though he is essentially physically alone, spiritually the Lord is with him. And we're going to find that in our most difficult day that the Lord of hosts is with us. Jesus is present with us. He's given us His Spirit. He is always with us. We are united with Jesus Christ if we know Him. Look at this. David knew this, though he knew it in an Old Testament shadow form. He knew this. David said in verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Don't you like that? Saul's kind of back in his tent, talking with David. Go ahead, you go, and the Lord be with you. That superficial, saccharine spirituality means nothing to Saul. And verse 38 is comical. Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. David didn't learn to trust God in Saul's army. God took care of David. God gave David basic training with the lion and with the bear. Do you know that you're each on a path of sanctification just like David was? And there are trials that are going to prepare you for greater battles. Don't waste those trials. Every trial that you face, often it's very confusing. I think David was a bit confused as that lion and that bear were coming at him. But God had a purpose for David, and God gave David the strength to defeat the lion and the bear. God is going to help us along the way, not as we trust in ourselves, but as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are never alone. Remember, in this typology, David is a type of Christ, and in Christ, we have everything that we need. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Someone read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Who's got it? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen. Amen. Peter tells us that we have all things that we need for life and godliness in Christ. Often, we're looking for some solution in our lives, some friend, some formula, finances. But what we need to be looking to is Jesus. Because Jesus created all of our friends. Jesus gives us all of our finances. Any foe that we have, he can stand against them and destroy them. Let's trust in Jesus. Let's trust in the Lord of hosts. Well, the Lord of hosts is present with us, just as he was with David. And we do not need the carnal weapons of this world. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul, if you look back in 1 Samuel 17, verse 33, Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." You're not able to go against this Philistine without being a giant, without having proper armor. You're not able to do it. But let me ask you, was David able to do it? Who did he need? God was his armor. God was his shield. God was his general. I had a conversation this week with a young man who said that he suffered from bipolar. And he couldn't work. He was receiving money from the government because this was a disability. And I said, "Well, what is bipolar?" And he began to explain, "Well, you know, I get really depressed and then I feel relieved, so I go manic. And then I get really depressed." And I said, "You know what? I think I'm bipolar. Don't you think you're bipolar? You know what the difference between insanity and sanity is? Insanity is giving up. It's making excuses. It's just letting go. Letting the world carry you. We have a responsibility to trust in the Lord our God. And whether you have bipolar or ADHD or whatever other millions of pseudo-diagnoses that this world wants to put on you, all those labels, Jesus is enough to help you. Jesus Christ is enough. Especially in the battles of the mind, we can renew our mind and put our trust in him. He can heal our mind and our heart. And I've been, as I've mentioned, when I was in junior high, I was 2 to 3 years under deep, deep depression where your mind is utterly irrational and all of these thoughts just flood constantly. I'm not talking about a battle here and a battle there. I'm talking about day and night. Day and night where you're afraid of your own shadow. And I came to know the Lord and I came to realize it's all about focus. It really is. If you have irrational thoughts tonight, if you're struggling with irrational fears, what you need to do is you need to simply focus your mind on what is true. You need to focus your mind on Christ. Someone read Isaiah 23 in verse 6. I believe that's the correct reference. Isaiah 23 in verse... It's 26 in verse 3. Dyslexic. Yes, someone read that.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
On the battlefield, who was it that David saw? Who did David see on the battlefield? He saw the Lord. He saw this little tiny giant, and he saw this great big God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Who are you looking at tonight? Are you looking at the Lord of hosts, or are you looking at these little bitty giants? In Christ, you have everything that you need to be complete as a human being. In Christ, not in yourself, not in this world. This world has an agenda for you to be a person of some kind. They want to put you in a form, in a mold. God says everything you need to be who God created you to be is found in Jesus. And if you know him, that's all you need. Now, if you don't know him tonight, you need to come to him. We see that David didn't need to be armed. And we don't need to be armed with the things of this world. The weapons of our warfare, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look then at another thing in verses 23 through 25 of 1 Samuel 17. Somebody read those. What we're going to find out is that David was in awe of God. Verses 23 through 25. Somebody read that. 1 Samuel 17, 23 through 25.
As he talked with them, behold the champion. The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid.
Verse 25.
And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up?
Okay, right there. Have you seen this man? Who were the people of Israel looking at? This man that had come up. Now read continue reading through verse 26.
Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Okay, so the people of Israel were saying, "Who has anyone seen this man? Who is this man? Who has seen this man, this giant man who has come up to destroy us?" And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised man, this Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now let's read verses 45 through 47, if you would, Brother Bill.
Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. For this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.
So God doesn't save the way human armies save. God doesn't bring victory the way this world brings victory. David said, "You have defied God. God will deliver you into my hands. I will kill you. I will cut off your head. In fact, I will defeat your whole army today because you have defied the armies of the living God, the Lord of hosts." Whose army was David looking at? Was he looking at the Philistine army? Was he looking at the Jewish army? He was looking at the army of the Lord of all the angel armies. The application is this: you ought not to fear any circumstance in your life and compromise against the Lord. Don't ever forget your identity in Jesus Christ, our Lord of hosts. Do not ever forget your identity, whether you're at work or whether you're at home or whether you're with friends. You are a Christian. You are in Christ. Don't ever compromise. Take a stand against that which is evil in this world, even that which is evil in this church. Because at times, wrong things will come out of all of us. Isn't that right? We need to be careful, saints. You need to be careful about me as your pastor. No one is exempt. You need to lovingly stand. And if there's something evil, you need to stand against it and warn in the name of the Lord of hosts, who is on your side. So don't ever forget your identity. You are not of this world. You're not part of Israel's army or the Philistines' army. You're part of the Lord's army, and you're standing with him. Don't cower. Don't be with the world. Stand with Jesus. He's the Lord of hosts. And so you're going to have some compromising situations, whether it be in your home, at work. You're going to be confronted with the ugly reality that is lawlessness in this world. There are many, both outside the church and even inside the church, that don't care what God's word has to say. And you need to be strong like David was and be in Christ and stand against it. Finally, the Lord promises us the victory. The battle is not ours, but it is the Lord's, as our brother just read. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give us the victory. In fact, if you are in Christ, you already have the victory. You see, Jesus Christ is our champion. David, as he saw that giant, he started running, not away from the giant, but towards the giant. Bill, why don't you finish reading verses 48 through 51?
When the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled.
Amen. Amen. And so we have the King of Israel right there on the battlefield. And Jesus Christ is our King, and all enemies have been defeated. They were defeated at the cross. But there is coming a day, very soon, when Jesus Christ, even as David cut the head of Goliath off, Jesus Christ will destroy his enemies. There is coming a day. I want you to see this day in Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And I want to read verses 11 through 16. Who would like to read verses 11 through 16? Brianna.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he that doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. David was just a shadow of the coming king. This cutting off of the enemy's head was just a shadow of what will happen at the very end of the age when Jesus comes and he destroys all of his enemies. It's a serious thing when you ask yourself the question, am I on the Lord's side? Am I on the side of the Lord of the angel armies, Jehovah Sabaoth?